KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jay Booksbaum. You know me probably from wine and spirits, but I want to tell you something. Even though I'm in that area of expertise, you're about to hear from Rechama Bistritsky-Klapman, who runs MASS, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. They're in their 20th anniversary. They've got over 45,000 families that they've helped over the years. It's an amazing program. It's called Family Matters. And if you've got any issues with bullying or alcohol or substance abuse or any other kind of abuse, they're your place to go. I'm really excited to introduce you all to Rechama Bistritsky-Klapman here on Dev Brenner's Talk Line Communications Network every Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Listen to Rechama and Family Matters.
Welcome back to Family Matters. So nice to be back again every Thursday night discussing different issues in the family, like learning disabilities, which we're going to be addressing this evening. We have a mom that's going to share her story of when she found out that her first grader had some learning difficulties, reading difficulties. And we are so honored to have with us tonight Mrs. Steinberg, Director of Project Learn at Agudas Yisrael of America. Mrs. Steinberg, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And Mom, are you there, Mom? I'd like to welcome you.
I am
here.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start with you, Mom, so our listeners go on the journey with us on when we're told in schools that we need some additional assistance sometimes with a child. So, Mom, what made you call MASS? How old was your child, and was it a girl or a boy, so that you can share that with our listeners, please?
So my child is a boy, and he was 6 years old at the time, and it was toward the end of the first grade when the English teacher told us that he was having some reading difficulty. Now, I knew that there was something going on, as doing homework with him took forever. It was frustrating for me. It was frustrating for him. I tried having my older children help him, my husband, my mother, my father. It took forever, and everybody was getting frustrated. My older children were annoyed because it was taking away so much time from them. And then his English teacher said to me, "I think there's a reading problem." And I was very nervous. I was very anxious. I was very concerned. I have four older children. I had never been told this. And I didn't know what to do. I called my mother. I called my sister. I called a neighbor. It was a very scary time because I just was consumed with this, and I didn't know if he would have to be pulled out from school, if he needed a special school. And my mother suggested that I call MASS, and I called MASS, and I spoke with you at MASS, Rechama, and you guided me to Mrs. Steinberg. And when I spoke with Mrs. Steinberg, she gave me some different suggestions. I wrote a letter to the Board of Education. I requested evaluations, and that's really where my journey began.
Well, thank you. So, Mrs. Steinberg, Mom is explaining what happened after she called you. Can we start with first, what is Project Learn? What is it that Mrs. Steinberg and her staff can help parents with?
Well, the main focus of Project Learn at this point is to help parents of children who have issues in school, no matter which level it's on and no matter what kind of school they're in. And that is what we do is, it, what the parents need is actually what guides us as to what direction we go. And I believe I speak to the parents and get a real idea of what the child is and what the child's needs are, and we take it from there.
So let's say a parent calls you. Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, your turn.
No, when a parent calls you, you basically do an intake. So this mom, first grade, end of first grade, has some sort of reading disability, the teacher's suggesting. So how can you help a mom that's dealing with a first grader? Let's start with
so the first
grade.
Thing we're looking at is, you know, I can't help anybody until we actually know what the problem is. So the very first thing we need to do is get the child evaluated. And so that process begins at the district level, with the district of where the school that the child goes to is located is the one that's responsible to evaluate the child to see what the issues are. Sometimes when the issues are a little bit deeper, we do send them to a more thorough evaluation privately, but more or less, most of the time, the district is enough, and it is usually the starting point.
And there's no charge for that?
No, there is no charge for that, and we guide them step by step from the very beginning. We also help them expedite at different areas. Sometimes, you know, a parent will say they need an evaluation, and I tell them to write the letter, and they write the letter, and somehow they're not getting the answer that they needed in a timely manner. So I'm able to get that moved along a lot faster than if they just stand and do it on their own.
Can I interject, Rahama?
Sure.
I just want to say that when I spoke with Mrs. Steinberg, not only did she guide me as far as the letter, she helped me compose the letter, who it needs to be sent to. It was seamless. And I was very anxious because it was the end of first grade, and I wanted to set things up in place for the following
Lizzie Brenner.
Year. And I know summer is a very hard time. She knew the right people, the right things for me to do, and she really expedited the services, so much so we didn't even have to wait until September. In my case, he already started services for the month of June in first grade. I don't know how she did it, but it was done.
Amazing. I know that, Mrs. Steinberg, you've been doing this how many years already?
Over 15 years.
Yeah.
So my goal is 15 years, yeah.
Wow. And you have so many connections. I know that over the years, so many things have been evolving in reference to special ed, and you're able to make so many things happen. Mrs. Steinberg, isn't it so that you're working with the Governor's Advisory Council? Can you elaborate on that, please?
Okay, so the Governor's, it's called the Developmental Disabilities Advisory Council, and this council deals with not only school age, this council deals with all ages of individuals with developmental disabilities, and it's the OPWDD, the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities. This is a whole separate area which I somehow was asked to join the Governor's Advisory Council. So now I don't only take care of the children in school age. Once they graduate high school or finish that age area, you know, the Department of Education is responsible up until the child is 21 years old. And what happens to individuals with disabilities after they age out? Now that I'm on this council, I do have, I'm beginning to get a handle of how to help these individuals when they're older. And I really hope to be able to make a real difference in our community in this area too, because there's a whole lifespan and don't stop needing things just because they turn 21. If anything, they need more, because the school is a structure, and the structure itself helps them function. But when there is no structure, what structure do they fall into? And I'm hoping to be able to help make their adult life more happier and even exciting so that they could really enjoy their life. So that's what I do.
And that may include, residence information.
Yes, it does include residence information. It includes, there are now more than one system. The whole adult system is evolving, and they don't even have all the facts yet. But it does include residences. It includes something they call certified residents, and there is something now that's coming through, uncertified residences, which they do help fund through something that they are calling the self-direct system. So if there are any parents here who really want to know more about this, they should call me, because that system of self-direct is really one of the focuses they gave me, because I'm on the subcommittee for self-direction at the governor's, you know, council. I'm on the top level, and then they have subcommittees, and the self-direct subcommittee is one that I'm in. So, you know, there are many, many things evolving, because our whole developmental disabilities viewpoint has changed and is changing, and OPWDD is trying to go along with it and to make it better. So I'm hoping to be part of that.
That's going to be an amazing new service that you're able to offer to the community. And there are many, many people out there that do need to reach you, Mrs. Steinberg. So just for those that are chiming in now, we are on Family Matters Masks radio show every Thursday night from 9 to 10. And tonight we are lucky to have Mrs. Steinberg from the Good Israel Project Learn, and a mom that's sharing her personal story of her first grader when she's told in first grade that he needs some extra services. So for those that want to reach either the mom or Mrs. Steinberg, you can call MASCS Helpline 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's confidential, 718-758-0400. Call us. Call us anonymous. If you know somebody that you have struggling with educationally, if you know somebody that needs some assistance, whether it's with ADD, ADHD, bullying, drugs, alcohol, gambling, any other mental health family issues, schizophrenia, feel free to call the confidential MASC helpline, 718-758-0400. Mom, I'd like to know, what did it feel like for you personally hearing from the school your child needs these services? Can you talk about your feelings? I know you said your family was frustrated, the other kids, everybody was trying to chip in and help, learn, study, do homework with the first grader. But what did it feel like for you, a mom?
Well, I felt like I was a failure. This was my baby. This is my baby. And I put all of my neshama into my children. Everything I've ever done, swimming lessons, art lessons, piano lessons, driving to and from baseball practice, I've put everything into my children. And I was racking my brain what it was that I did differently with this child. What could I have done differently? What did I not do enough of? Why is this happening? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with me? What more should I have done? Could I have done? It was just, my head was so full with these thoughts. and I was just very overwhelmed, and I couldn't even function in other areas because I was just thinking about this, and it was just overtaking, you know, everything. You know, the family definitely, you know, suffered. You know, I wasn't interested in cooking dinners and, you know, doing things that I normally did that came easily to me because I was trying to figure out a way how to fix this and where I went wrong and why this was happening.
How was your husband? Are you both on the same page? Was it different for him than it was for you?
We're definitely on the same page now, 4 years later. When we started, my husband is actually in education, and he kept saying that everything is fine. He's normal. He's healthy. He's smart. He's seen children with worse issues, more issues. He's going to grow out of it. What are you so worried about? So it was very difficult because I felt in my heart that if we didn't do everything and anything that we possibly could do while he was young, I was even upset with myself that we didn't catch this sooner. Why didn't I catch it sooner? You know, I was frustrated with doing homework with him in pre-1A. Why didn't I start the process at that point? So it took a long time for him to see what I was seeing, what I was feeling. But once we did, you know, we did everything we could. We drove to tutors. He drove. I drove. Pickup, drop off. I got him on board, finally.
Sounds like you really worked hard. And once you got him on board and you took your, you called Ms. Steinberg at Agoda, at Project Learn for these services, wasn't that a big relief for the family? I mean, did the family notice changes in your son when you started his tutoring? Did it get easier? Would you like to share for our listeners, how did that change in the family?
Well, first of all, it took some time. Mrs. Steinberg and the people that work in her office gave me lists of names and numbers of people to call, and I had to find somebody that was in my area or somebody that I was willing to travel to that worked within my time frame. So that also took time. And once we did find somebody, we were excited. We saw some progress, but not enough and not fast enough. And then when we finally hooked up with another person who worked with him, another reading specialist, that's when the magic began and things started to click and to fall in place. And all my children were on board. We would bring the children with us to the reading specialist's home, and she would show everybody, this is what you have to do when you're working with him. Everybody got on board, and everybody understood what was happening. We were very open about the situation. We didn't hide that he had an issue, that he had a problem. We shared it with the family, and I think that that made the biggest difference. When everybody knew there was something going on, had questions, and we were open about it. And I think that that's a big thing for parents to realize, the importance of sharing with the other members in the family, because they know more than you think they know. They hear more than you think they do. So I think that for parents, that's the biggest thing, that the biggest bracha you can do for your other children in the home.
That's a very important message. Yes, and bringing up stigma-free, I'd like to share with everyone that MASC has a billboard on the way upstate on Route 17, and that billboard's message is stigma-free, working towards stigma-free with hope and understanding. And there are three different areas that we noted on the billboard, and school addictions and mental health issues. School is the biggest one, because when kids go through school and they're struggling. It is very hard to keep up, even in first grade. When, you know, when you go to PTA for a first grader and they tell you, you know, your kid needs help in math, your daughter needs some help in reading, sometimes there are parents that go home and scratch their heads and may say, I've heard this, where they say, what do they want my kid to be in first grade? Einstein? But the truth of the matter is, teachers could already identify at early ages which kids need that assistance early on to get them stronger, to help them for later years. Mrs. Steinberg, I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Definitely. I was even thinking, you know, maybe I would interject because this is a very, very hot topic in my mind, because I believe, to check it out, if there is any question, have the child evaluated, there's nothing to lose. If it comes back that everything's okay and, you know, you are just being hyper, you know, sensitive to the child's issues, fine. But if you have an issue that you need to deal with, do it at the youngest stage. It gives them the very best chance to grow up with their peers without any stigmas, without any pain. You know, when they start notice children are looking at things differently, life is changing for them suddenly, at that point, to give this additional problem, this additional pressure to the child, it's unfair if you have any idea that your child has a problem. And when you go to the district, everything is confidential. Nothing comes out. So, you know, you may as well have your child tested, give them the help they need when they're young, and hopefully they will grow out of it and it'll become part of them and you won't even know they had a problem. Don't let it multiply and then it becomes a bigger problem as they grow older. It's very important to do it at the youngest age.
Can I interject, Rahama? I totally agree mm-hmm. with Mrs. Steinberg. When my son started and he got evaluated, he had speech, he had occupational therapy, and he also had something called P3 that was helping address the reading concern. He's now in fourth grade, and he only receives the P3. We made tremendous progress, and he no longer needs those other two services. So if you start earlier, you won't need them as long as when you start later, because if you start later, they're so much further behind, and they have so much more to catch up.
I want to thank the parent that's on the phone, because besides for everything, I really love to hear the success when the parent puts in the work, and, you know, and I hope and pray sometimes that the guidance I give is right. And when I hear the success that the child has, it is really a chizuk for me. And thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Well, I have one other thing to add, Mrs. Steinberg. Because of your help, I have now become quasi-expert in my child's school, where the disabilities coordinator sends parents my way for guidance. And what I usually do is call Mrs. Steinberg. She'll help you through the process.
Thanks. Well, you're paying it forward. That is wonderful. So, Mrs. Steinberg, we know at NASC so many success stories. We've referred clients to you over the last 20 years that I'm at NASC. That's why I asked how long you're doing it, because you said 15 years. I was going to say almost as long as NASC, because I remember so many years ago already referring clients to you. So I know, Mrs. Steinberg, the wonderful work, the wonderful guidance, the amazing progress that families are making, are going ahead, helping their children with learning disabilities because of you, Ms. Steinberg, and Goodness Israel. So publicly, we'd like to say thank you to Goodness Israel, Project Learn, with Mrs. Steinberg giving the guidance and having a wonderful staff helping the families, like the mom that's on the phone with us today. And sometimes, there are sometimes that it may not be as successful. Mrs. Steinberg, can you review when are there times that it could be not as successful as this mom's story? Can we move a little bit along to a little bit older, maybe? A boy that's going to be bar mitzvah in seventh grade now has to study the parsha by heart, or what, you know, learning Gemara in fourth and fifth grade. Can we move it up now, the elementary age? What happens different? What are the struggles? How are they different for the child? Mrs. Steinberg, can you elaborate, please?
Well, there is much more actual deep learning going on as the time goes by. And obviously, for it to work for a child with issues, the school has to be totally on board. And I have found when the yeshivas and the schools are totally on board, they do modify, they do make it work for the child, and it does work if everybody is in partnership to help the child. It's got to be a unit. It has to be a collaborative unit, the parent, the school, and everybody around them, so that it could work for the child. And they don't stop needing it just because they're getting older. They need more, and they need different kind of help. The emotional piece has to be taken into consideration. It's like you were saying, you know, that they're going to need to know the parsha by heart. You know, I think that's what you mentioned. I said, like, yes. Why? In my head, I'm going, like, why? Why in the world do they need to know this? If it doesn't work for them, it doesn't have to happen. And I do know that there are in Lakewood, my children live in Lakewood, so many of them are now going into the bar mitzvah season. Now I've heard that things have changed about the laning, that the laning is not as important as it used to be, that many of the children don't lane. Many of the shuls do not let the children lane. I said, Baruch Hashem, you're really saving so much Akmas Nefesh, because if there's one out of eight children who really would have a problem with it, nobody has to know. Nobody has to really know that it's a problem. And if a child really wants to lane, they could do it at their bar mitzvah themselves. You know, there are ways that if a child wants to shine in a certain area, he could shine, but not at the cost of being mevaza and hurting another child. So the community has to be a little bit more open to being sensitive all around, and how to deal with the children with special needs, and how also to deal with the children who are gifted, because those are two populations that need a little bit extra focus. And, you know, when a child has special needs, they also have special talents. They very often have special talents. And we should focus on the positive of the child and let them shine in the areas where they have talents. And I find that there are a lot of schools that are looking at it this way nowadays. And I hope that's contagious, because it really does work.
Yeah, it's fantastic that the schools are recognizing. You know, we get phone calls on that. We've helped over 45,000 families that have reached out, and we've helped them in different areas. MASC is a referral agency, 20 years. We have support groups for parents. We have a lending library. We are a naloxone distributor for people that want to help a loved one that is on drugs, opiates. They can get a free kit at MASC. You can come and get trained. You can call MASC 718-758-0400 to make an appointment to come in, to be trained. It's a very quick training for naloxone, and get a free kit. But you do mention the stigma, and our goal is that we need to see the person, not the illness. The same as what, Mom, you're saying about parents recognizing learning disabilities. Don't be embarrassed about it. There are many people to call for guidance. Mrs. Steinberg is always available. If it's not her, it's one of her staff that is always available to help hold the parent's hand, help expedite the process. Once it's been determined what that is that you may need for your loved one. So again, write down our number, 718-758-0400. It's confidential, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And if you want to speak with Mrs. Steinberg from Project Learn or the mom, call MASC. We'll give you that information, and you can reach out to them to help you, whoever that listener may be, that needs help for their loved one. Maybe it's for a neighbor, maybe someone sitting next to you in show that you notice that their child is struggling. Why don't you give them MASC's confidential number? Again, 718-758-0400. Mom, your other children, you mentioned earlier you have other children, Kanahara, this is your baby, they're older. I'm wondering, are they more sensitive now to people with special needs, being that they had a struggling little brother?
Such a great question, and the answer is absolutely yes. My older children are exceptional, Bliayanhara. My oldest daughter is now going into the speech field because she has been watching the reading specialist and the speech therapist work with my son, and it's something that she has a feeling for, and this is a chosen profession that she has chosen. My next daughter is working in a camp this summer with children that have special needs but are integrated in a regular camp. So I think that it was Hashem's bracha that he sent me this son, because it will change many lives as my children are growing into this field and going into this given profession because of what they saw that we went through.
Wes. Really beautiful. Yes, sometimes Hashem does send us different challenges in our life, and in return, we're able then to help others. Mrs. Steinberg, you mentioned the gifted population. I want to talk a little bit about that, because one may have a child that's gifted and a son or a daughter, and they go to the school, and the kid's in first, second, third grade, and the teacher says, your kid just does not belong in this class. It's not working. Can you explain why a gifted child will have a difficult time in, sometimes in a regular school setting? I remember one child once in first grade would put his head down and during Chumash, and the teacher called the mom and said, maybe your son needs to go to bed earlier at night, because every day he puts his head down during Chumash. And when the mom asked the child, why do you put your head down during Chumash? He says, how many times do I need to listen to the same pasuk over and over? So then that child was evaluated, and the parent was then told that he is gifted. And it was a whole new set of challenges that came with that. So, Mrs. Steinberg, can we talk more about the gifted population, please?
Yes. First, there are two gifted populations. There is first a gifted population that's just very gifted, and then you also have a complicated combination of gifted with special needs. And that population also needs to be addressed. But when we're talking about the gifted themselves, I think that at the same time that the yeshivas have become much more sensitive to the special needs population, for the special needs child not to feel stigmatized, and we're talking about stigma, when they are being pulled out, why not put in an enrichment program for those children who are going to put their head down on the desk because they cannot listen to it 10 times, and give them something at the same time so the stigma of being pulled out doesn't have to happen? Because you really don't know once the child is taken out of the class whether they're going to the gifted or whether they're going to the special, you know? And then being pulled out may even be a treat. So I think that that would be something that would be very helpful for everybody. It is hard for gifted children to sit in a classroom and listen to things a few times. I definitely have experienced it with some of my children, and some of the rebbeim were sensitive. I had one child who his rebbe said, listen, walk out of class, take a walk around the building. You don't even have to ask me permission. You walk out, you come back in. But my head, I said, okay, he was wonderful. We let him walk out. But what a waste of time. Why couldn't he learn on his own level? Why shouldn't there be something out there for the gifted children of our community within the regular yeshiva system? And, you know, I think that is something that we should address. It shouldn't be so out of the ordinary to give them a little bit extra. I think there are yeshivas that are doing it, and they're not naming it, but it really should be there. It does give them a little bit more. What happens is if they don't get anything, they do get into mischief. They can't help it.
Right.
They're sitting there watching their mind and mortem. You
right.
know,
they start counting the tiles on the ceiling, they say, the kids. They said, how many times should we count?
To their neighbor. You know, they send little airplane notes to their neighbors. And, you know, and then they get labeled as ADD. They're not ADD.
Or troublemaker.
To have more information. You know?
Right.
So it is something that it's out there, and we really should be addressing it, because it does sometimes manifest in behaviors, and all of a sudden you have a child who isn't behaving, where really he could be the one that's actually shining. So it is something we need to do. Now, when we're talking about the gifted with special needs, there's a very large amount of children which, although they are gifted intellectually, they have other needs. They have OT needs. They have speech and language needs. Those children need the help they need to be the best they can be. It's not a matter of you're just making it within the classroom. Making it within the classroom does not always mean making it to the best of my ability. We're always telling the children, you know, the parents of children with special needs, you know, your child has to be the best that he could be. If the best that he could be is only 80% or 70%, you should be giving him the chizuk he needs because he is doing wonderfully at his level. But that should go also for the gifted with special needs. You know, give him the help he needs to be his gifted self. And that is, you know, an important piece that I believe many parents have it, but the schools with the larger classes are not always able to address it. You know, it's as long as you get 100 on the test, then why in the world do I need to help you more? You know, we have the other ones that really need more help. So it's an issue.
Well, Mrs. Steinberg, I know that the yeshivas are moving along requesting more assistance in many areas, including having social workers and social work interns and school psychologists in the yeshivas today, where as years ago when I started MASC, there were very few. Today, there are several sometimes in every yeshiva. So that's tremendous progress. And I know that at MASC, we're in schools. Last year we were in 5 schools. You know, every year we go into schools and do prevention work with the kids, where therapists are supervised by professional SIFI supervisors, special for the social worker, and they're working with the kids. They're doing groups. Some are doing individual. They're available for the kids in the hallways. They're helping with this year bullying issues, which is a big issue in yeshivas and regular schools in the world. So I know the schools are moving along, and like you said, kudos to the Lakewood community that is encouraging kids, you know, for those that feel it's a good idea, not to lean if it's difficult to some. And it is a great extra stress pressure. But on the flip side, we do need laners when we go to shul, and we need laners when we go on vacation or go out of town around the world, Chabad. They need laners. So it is, you know, you need a middle way there. But if there are kids that are suffering or struggling with learning disabilities, even one in a classroom of 30, that could make such a difference, not to have the pressure for that one child not to feel different when they can't do it.
Right. It's a matter of, I agree, we need the laners. And, yes, there are children out there who are going to be very good at it and really should be doing it. But it shouldn't be like curriculum stress, and because that is something that can make a major amount of stress with a child with a speech issue, a child with a memory issue. You know, there are so many areas. And let's say just your general child who's really shy. I don't see how I could have ever gotten up when I was that age and done this. I really am glad that I wasn't a little boy having to do it. So I can imagine that among the little boys, there are some kids who are just majorly shy and couldn't do it anyway, no matter how smart they are. So, you know, I think we need to address each child individually. It should be out there because, yes, we really do need it. But that should maybe be part of an enrichment program. You know, those children who really can do it should be able to go out and do it. Doesn't mean that everybody has to do it.
Right, and like you said, address each child individually. I guess so we need to really look at the learning. Every stage is, every year is another stage in school. So if your first grader is having difficulties, like the mom that's on tonight's show with us, she decided, I am going to be very active with my family in getting him the help that he may need. And you did a great job. It was amazing how you described your whole family going with your son to the reading specialist. And that's part of giving them that support that they may need in first grade or eighth grade or 12th grade. Mrs. Steinberg, what about going into ninth grade? It's so hard from going to one Hebrew teacher maybe in elementary and one English teacher and suddenly, not being evaluated and just getting through 8 years of school. How is it for that kid, that young adult, that girl, that boy, going into ninth grade and suddenly having 5 teachers in the morning and 5 teachers in the afternoon?
It is totally overwhelming. First of all, the ninth grade in itself, for any of the children, this that they have several teachers is like, you know, hard for all of them to get used to. It's not only for those that have issues, but the ones who have issues, yes, it is a lot harder. Now, I want to go back to one thing which you just mentioned about the mom and her little boy, if you don't mind. It's
sure.
I think that every child is gifted in different ways, and identifying his gifts is very important much more important at some times. We need to identify his disability and help him with it, but it doesn't identify him. Now, he probably has many, many gifts that really are his identifiers, especially with the mother that he has. I'm sure that that is the focus of his whole person. He's not a learning disability. He is a person. He's a person that has a reading disability. I believe that's what it sounded like. But many, many, many other abilities. And that is the focus of a healthy child development. Because we could even take a gifted child and break them if you start focusing on the things that they can't do well. So, you know, all in all, the focus on the whole child is a very important thing. Now, what's going back to going into ninth grade, it is a difficult time, and many of the schools have supports for children who are having disabilities, learning disabilities or learning difficulties, and to help them go through that transition. It is a major transition, and I hope they do it well. But I do know that many of the schools help them with it.
Ruhama, can I just interject for one second?
Sure.
I just wanted to jump off of what Mrs. Steinberg said. The more the parents involve the school and work as a team, as partners, the bigger the world is for your child. When I was going through this struggle, and the school said to me, this is such a good boy. He doesn't have behavioral issues. He has friends. He has a speech therapist, an OT, a P3. You created a school within a school. I've always been open with the school. I've shared the IEP. I've spoken to the rebbeim, to the teachers before the school year began. Let them know what the issues are, what works best for my child. And I've only seen success that way. And I encourage parents out there who are listening that they should be as open as possible with the schools as partners to work together, because that's the only way that they're going to see success.
Mom, I'm really glad that you brought that message up for our listeners tonight, because on the Mask Helpline, when a parent calls and they describe situations, and we suggest going back to the school to discuss what's going on, whether it's, you know, you're getting separated, whether your kid has a learning disability, or no matter what it is, maybe there's an illness, well, Elena, God forbid, in the family, whatever that may be, the school needs to know in order to help the family, the child, with the struggles that that child is going through. When a child goes to school in the morning spending 8 hours or longer, I'm talking elementary school, 8 hours or high school, college, what happens is we bring our baggage with us wherever we go. And in school, when we're in, you know, classrooms, our issues are not disappearing. We need to then do our schoolwork. One needs to do the schoolwork. It's been a long time since I've been in school, so I say one needs to do the schoolwork. But yet, in their mind, they are going through struggles, whatever it may be. And therefore, it's so important, your message, Mom, about parents sharing information with the school. There are therapists in the school. There are social workers. We're not saying go to the administrator. Reach out to the social worker, to the school guidance counselor, to the psychologist, the school psychologist. Reach out to the teacher that your child may like and feel comfortable, even from last year, so that if the child meets that teacher in the hallway, the teacher will know to give that extra special greeting to the child that may be suffering at home or other issues, not only learning disabilities, any issue. So we always give that message. And Mrs. Steinberg, your mention of the stigma, seeing the person, again, I want to mention our billboard, Masks billboard, about working towards stigma free. We need to see the person, not the illness. The illness doesn't make up the person. But when one is suffering with any disability or illness, it's important that people be kinder to that individual, recognize that they need that extra encouragement, pat on the back, or whatever it may be that one can do to boost that person, put a smile on their face if they're struggling. Ms. Steinberg, what would you like to say to parents in elementary age kids after 15 years of, more than 15 years of doing this? What is the heartfelt message you would like to share so the parent that may be listening in tonight will relate to, that will give them the chizuk, the understanding to pick up the phone, to make the call? That may be scary, that the challenge is so big, but the support is out there. Ms. Steinberg, what message would you like to share with our listeners tonight?
Okay, the message that I would like to share as Mrs. Steinberg of Project Learn is, please, I believe that this mom could back me up on it, is that when you call me, I am there to give you the relief you need in any which way possible to help you with your child. There's nothing to be afraid of. There is only support and help. My goal over here at Agudas Israel's Project Learn is never, ever, ever to hang up the phone before I really feel that the parent has some sort of relief in their issue itself. And some of the issues are really big. And it's not only learning disabilities. Some of them are very hard. And I really beg parents to try me out. Give me a call. And I don't care what your issue is. Give me a call and I will try to do the best I can to help you. And I want to add another thing. I have a policy. I forget names. I know no one I spoke to. You can tell me whatever you want. I'm just the voice at the other end of the phone trying to help you. Nothing ever gets past my desk. Nobody ever hears anything that went on between my call with you. Please try.
Right, and anybody that wants to call Mrs. Steinberg or speak to the mom that's on with us, that is so much courage to share your family's personal story. Thank you, Mom. If anybody wants to speak to either of our wonderful guests on tonight's Mask radio show, Family Matters, you can call 718-758-0400, and we will give you their information where you can contact them all the time, anytime, because I know both of these people personally, on a personal level, and I will tell you that Mrs. Steinberg is always there for her clients. Small issue, big issue, they're all the same. She's always available. Her staff is available. She goes the extra mile. Thank you, Agudas Israel, for Project Learn and having Ms. Steinberg at the helm. She has a wonderful staff. And the mom, what should I say? Mom, just that you were able to share your personal story, Yash Koach, what heartfelt message would you like to share with our listeners tonight to get them to understand, maybe it's one of them that needs this guidance and assistance? Mom?
What I would say to all the moms and even the dads that are out there
and
listening,
thank you,
is
Dad,
that there is a niggling feeling that you feel inside that something is not right. Trust that instinct. Don't let anyone tell you he's going to be fine or she's going to be fine. they probably will be fine, and with the right help, they'll be fine. But listen to that inner voice that's telling you that something is just not the way it should be, and call Mrs. Steinberg. It's worth a question. It's worth that phone call, an email, and you'll know that you've done what you need to do as a parent. And that's really my message. Listen to that inner voice. Make a call, send an email, and be able to sleep at night so that you know that you've done. That's what our jobs here on this world is as parents, is to do anything and everything we can for our child. So if there is an inkling or any consideration that something is not right, make a call, send an email, and then take it from there.
I just want to add something regarding how to reach me. By phone, it may sometimes be hard. The email is really the best way to reach me. Rachama, should I give my email address?
I'll give it out.
You'll have it.
Okay. They can call. Yes, people can call Mass, and we'll be happy to give your email address. I thank you, Mom, for that.
Awesome.
I want to thank both of you for coming on this evening, for sharing for the Klal, that we can possibly help one person tonight pick up the phone to get help for their child. Mask's message to our listeners this evening is that out of the 45,000 clients that we have over the years calling Mask Helpline, like this mom that we referred to Mrs. Steinberg at Project Learn, I do want to say 60% is school-related issues that can turn into at-risk behaviors. So this is the message of prevention. Pick up the phone, call Mask. We'll give you all the information, whether it's Mrs. Steinberg, the mom, or any referral you may need for your loved one. Our number is 718-758-0400. I'd like to wish everyone a good night and a very beautiful Shabbos. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jay Booksbaum. You know me probably from wine and spirits, but I want to tell you something. Even though I'm in that area of expertise, I'm Rachama Bystritsky-Klapman, who runs Mass Mothers and Fathers, the Line Saving Kids. They're in their 20th anniversary. They've got over 45,000 families that they've helped over the years. It's an amazing program. It's called Family Matters, and if you've got any issues with bullying or alcohol or substance abuse or any other kind of abuse, they're your place to go. I'm really excited to introduce you all to Rachama Bystritsky-Klapman here on Zev Brenner's Talk Line Communications Network every Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Listen to Rachama and Family Matters.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
How would you like a wonderful davening overlooking the ocean with the birds flying by with Yehuda Green? This is exactly what you're going to get at the Long Beach Shabbaton, July 21st, 22nd, with the Long Beach Jewish Community, the Bach Shul, and Young Israel of Long Beach, Yehuda Green, Rabbi Naftali Citron. Good deals at the Long Beach Hotel if you mention the Kalbach Shul. Go to the kalbachshul.org for more information. We hope to see you there.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.